Please stay tuned for important disclosure information at the conclusion of this episode.
Welcome to Investing Insights. I'm your host, Ivana Hampton. Excitement over artificial intelligence is spurring a once-in-a-generation tech spin. NVIDIA counts several of its Magnificent Seven pals as customers buying its sophisticated AI chips, and the world's most valuable company says it could earn even more if geopolitical tensions between the U.S. and China ease. But investors are debating whether the market is experiencing an AI boom or AI bubble. How should buy and hold investors think about investing in AI? Are there any undervalued stocks left? Dave Sakara is Chief U.S. Market Strategist at Morningstar Research Services and co-host of the Morning Filter podcast. Welcome back to Investing Insights, Dave.
Well, thank you, Ivan. It's good to see you again.
Well, NVIDIA recently wrapped up the Magnificent Seven's earnings season, showing that AI spending is still strong. What does this mean for the tech-driven stock market rally?
I think you have to look at the stock market in a much broader sense than just focusing on the Mag 7 stocks, you know, in and of themselves and their performance. So AI spending, yes, still very strong. It's going to continue to be very strong here in the foreseeable future. But for the most part, when we look at a lot of those AI-related stocks, you know, the valuations already incorporate that existing, you know, path that we see, you know, for AI. So some of the stocks are a little overvalued, some are a little undervalued, but for the most part, I would say that the market is pretty close to where our fair valuations are, you know, overall. Now, when I also think about, you know, investing for most investors, you know, usually start off with a very broad portfolio, mutual funds or ETFs, you know, to get that broad stock market exposure. And so I think investors also have to realize with as much concentration as there is in the marketplace today, you already have, you know, a lot of exposure in these same AI stocks. So for example, if you look at the top five stocks in the Morningstar U.S. Market Index by market capitalization, that's about 25% of the overall market just in those five stocks alone. And if you broaden that out to the top 10 stocks, you know, that's about 35% of the market capitalization. And NVIDIA, you know, in and of itself, I mean, that's almost 7% of the market capitalization just in that one stock. So even if you're not buying any one individual in your AI-related stock, you already have a lot of exposure in your portfolio to this same theme.
Can I just say wow about NVIDIA? Do you think investors' expectations for these mega cap names are unreasonably high? Why or why not?
So I would say no, they're not unreasonably high, but they are definitely fully valued. And in our base case, we are pricing in, you know, a lot of earnings growth. So I actually looked at the numbers, you know, for NVIDIA before we came down here today. So when you look at our financial model over the course of the next 5 years, our compound annual growth rate for earnings is 25%. So that's a very rapid, you know, earnings growth rate, especially for a company that's grown as much as it already has over the past couple of years. So I looked at our earnings estimate. So our 2026 earnings estimate is $4.44, you know, per share for the current fiscal year that we're in. So that comes out to a 38 times forward PE. So a very high, a very rich multiple. But yet when you look at our earnings for next year at $6.58, you know, that forward multiple then drops to 26 times, which seems a lot more reasonable, you know, for that amount of growth. And then if you go all the way out to the end of our explicit forecast period in 2029, our earnings estimate is $9.32 a share. So based on where the stock is, you know, today, you're paying, you know, 18 times earnings. So again, that's a much more appropriate kind of multiple for that kind of earnings growth rate in the future. But I'd say generally using that base case, the stock is, you know, pretty fully valued today. It trades a little bit under, you know, our fair value estimate today, but it's still a 3-star rated stock.
Now, NVIDIA is sitting at the center of a geopolitical rivalry between the U.S. and China. The company says it didn't sell any of its sophisticated AI chips to China in this previous quarter, but that $50 billion opportunity exists. What do you make of the bottleneck and its impact?
I spoke with Brian Colello, and, you know, in his view, he thinks that, you know, at some point in time, they will get all the permissions that they need from both the U.S. government as well as, you know, China to start allowing them to buy, you know, those H2O chips. And then they do have some other chips that are currently being designed today that are lower powered than their highest end chips, which they intend to sell into China. So as you mentioned, you know, they do see this as being a $50 billion, you know, annual opportunity for them, you know, when this comes to fruition. The timing of that is certainly uncertain at this point in time. But just to put that into, you know, perspective, you know, we're looking at total sales for the company of about $200 billion this year. So that $50 billion opportunity is certainly a lot of upside, you know, left to come when that happens. Now, I would say right now, just because of the uncertainty as far as, you know, when that happens and how quickly that's going to ramp up, you know, we don't incorporate that into our model today. So when that does come to fruition and we can really get a better handle on it enough to be able to incorporate it into our expectations, that provides even further upside to our fair value estimate than where it is today.
Something to look forward to. So many market watchers are divided over whether the current environment is an AI boom or an AI bubble. Can you talk about Morningstar's outlook?
So I would say we're much more in the AI boom point of view than a bubble. Now, having said that, we know how technology works. We've seen it in the past. At some point in time, it probably will turn into a bubble, but we don't think that we're there yet. And so I know, like, even at the Morningstar Investment Conference, you know, when we talked about, you know, AI investing in AI stocks, you know, Brian Colello, who covers NVIDIA, Eric Compton, who's the technology sector director, you know, had highlighted a number of different aspects as far as why they don't think that we're in a bubble. And so a lot of that is just encapsulating, you know, how it's being built out today. So, for example, all the CapEx spending that's used today is really just to try and satisfy the amount of demand there is today. I mean, it's really very undersupplied. So as soon as, you know, those new AI GPUs, you know, get out there, they're immediately used and put to use. So it's not like people are buying, you know, a lot of these chips and putting them in inventory to be able to satisfy future demand, because that demand is so high today. They also noted, you know, a couple more, you know, technical aspects of it. So people are spending, you know, out of existing cash flow today in order to be able to spend on AI and build out, you know, their AI platforms. You know, they're not taking on, you know, additional debt or leverage, you know, to do that. So we definitely see, you know, over the next couple of years, you know, a lot more of this spending that just needs to be able to come online just to satisfy, you know, the existing demand, much less the amount of more demand that we see occurring, you know, over the future. So I think we're still a little bit probably towards the end of the picks and shovels phase as far as kind of building out AI. And I think really the theme for probably even like the end of this year, but certainly for 2026 is going to be looking for, you know, which companies out there are going to be able to take AI, and we're starting to see some companies, you know, do this today, you know, incorporate that into their existing products and services, add economic value so they can start charging, you know, more revenue, grow their own top line utilizing AI. Then also those companies that can take AI, incorporate that into their own business practice so that way they can get more efficiencies, more productivity, be able to generate, you know, higher operating margins. So I think that's really going to be the next wave of companies that investors are even searching for today, you know, to try and invest in those that can actually utilize AI, you know, over the course of the future. So when you think about all of that together, definitely in, you know, the AI boom point of view, not to say that we won't be in a bubble, you know, at some point in time in the future.
How should buy and hold investors think about investing in artificial intelligence?
Well, let's just start off with the broad market today. So if we look at the broad market, the Morningstar US Market Index, you know, we're trading pretty much at fair value. So we cover over 700 stocks that trade on the US exchanges, and we compare the market capitalization of where those stocks are trading compared to the intrinsic valuation as determined by our equity analyst team. Market pretty fairly valued. So I'd say going forward for long-term investors, you know, if you're buying into the market today, we'd expect that you're going to get, you know, cost of equity type returns over the long term, call it in that 8 to 9%, you know, area, maybe up to 10%. But I think kind of the era of the excess returns that we've seen, you know, from AI over the past couple of years is probably behind us, you know, at this point of view. So I'd look much more at kind of those more normalized historical type of returns, you know, in the equity market, you know, even incorporating, you know, our expectations for artificial intelligence over the next couple of years.
What are the most undervalued AI stocks right now?
So I'm really looking at it from three points of view. So I'm looking at it, you know, which of those companies are the ones that are still the picks and shovels, you know, the hardware providers that are seeing, you know, the highest growth here in the near term and probably over, you know, the next couple of years as well. But then also looking at those companies that are called the hyperscalers. So those are the ones that have the platforms that the artificial intelligence programs are being run on. They're also seeing a huge amount of, you know, demand, you know, for those platforms to run AI. And we know there's a lot more of that demand, you know, yet still to come. And then lastly, looking for those companies that can utilize, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, in order to be able to, you know, improve, you know, their products and services and their own efficiencies. So as far as the picks and shovels, you know, the three that I'm going to highlight here are, you know, first going to be, you know, Taiwan Semiconductor. It's a 4-star rated stock, trades at a 25% discount to fair value. It is a company we rate with a wide economic moat, that wide economic moat being based on its cost advantages and its intangible assets. Second one I'm going to highlight is going to be Marvell. Now, Marvell stock has had some volatility recently. Our equity analyst team thinks that you need to look through kind of the short-term volatility that we've seen here. That also is a 4-star rated stock, trades at a 30% discount to fair value. Now, that one has a narrow economic moat, so not as much of a time frame to get those excess returns as a wide economic moat, but yet that's based on their switching costs and their intangibles as well. So recommend, you know, doing your due diligence, go to Morningstar.com or whichever Morningstar platform you use, you know, and read through, you know, the analysis there. And then the last of the hardware providers is going to be ASML. So they're the ones that actually make the machinery, which is then used to be able to make the artificial intelligence, you know, GPUs. So we still see, you know, a lot of, you know, new, you know, fabs being built. We see a lot of, you know, that demand, you know, coming onto shore the US. So as all of those fabs are being built, they need to equip those fabs, as well as, you know, the GPU process, you know, in and of itself is also undergoing a lot of rapid development. So ASML trades at a 24% discount. It's also a 4-star rated stock. So those are the three I would look at, you know, from the perspective of the hardware providers. Now, as far as the hyperscalers, it's going to be Microsoft. I would have said Alphabet, but Alphabet just got a very favorable ruling regarding the DOJ case. That stock, I think, is up well over 8% today. So at this point, it's probably moving from 4-star into 3-star territory. I think it's trading pretty close to our fair value today. Microsoft, still a 4-star rated stock, trades at a 16% discount. I mean, that company, when you look at its business lines, it's still just hitting on all cylinders. See very large total addressable market for, you know, its AI hosting platforms. So that's one that I would recommend taking a look at, you know, from that point of view. And then lastly, as far as, you know, those companies that can utilize, you know, AI, two that our technology team, you know, have highlighted are going to be Salesforce and ServiceNow. They're both, well, Salesforce is a 4-star rated stock at a 22% discount. Company with a wide economic moat based on switching costs and the network effect. And then ServiceNow, depending on the day you're looking at, it's right at that border between 3 stars and 4 stars. So yeah, on up days, you know, it looks like it's going into that 3-star territory. On down days, it's in that 4-star territory. So it's about a 14% discount to fair value today. But both of those companies, you know, we do see them today in their existing products, you know, utilizing AI. We are seeing them get, you know, some sales benefit from that, from both existing customers as well as new potential clients, you know, coming online. So over time, we see both of those companies being beneficiaries. So I would take a look at those two, you know, from that point of view.
Well, Dave, just for folks who are listening, watching, today is Wednesday, September 3rd. We timestamp on the podcast. Dave, thank you for coming to the table and discussing the latest on AI investing.
Well, of course. Well, thank you, Ivana.
I also spoke with Morningstar CEO Kunal Kapoor about how he's thinking about the AI boom. Here's what he said. Thanks for joining me, Kamal.
I'm so happy to be back.
What do you think about the big bets that Wall Street and Main Street are making on AI? And what should individual investors keep in mind?
Well, there's certainly some long-term bets. And if you look at the earnings of some of the companies that have been making the largest bets, one could say that so far, the earnings growth has justified some degree of flexibility on that front. The question is, will the huge amount of CapEx pay out over time? And if you look at what our equity analysts are writing, that's the main question that they're asking. It's a lot of capital. And is it truly the highest and best use of that capital? I think importantly, too, for investors, the question to ask is whether future success has been priced into a lot of those stocks. And if you look at some of the hottest AI-related stocks, our analysts aren't as bullish about their future returns. Now, again, separate the business, which could do very well, from the potential for how the equity may perform. And I think our analysts feel like a lot of the future growth is already priced into equity prices. So I think you want to be cautious. And I just add that every day, if you look at the gainers losers list, tends to be some stock that's got a .AI or an AI in its name. And I'd be wary about sort of buying on, you know, just the name.
Kunal, how is AI transforming Morningstar?
In many ways, right? If you think about one of the key themes that is sweeping the overall investing universe, it's that investor choice is as great as ever. And so Morningstar collects all this data. We have all our analysts doing all this great work. And when you land on our properties, for example, historically, you might have used a screener to figure out what to do, or you might have had your own process through which you whittle things down. Imagine a future where it's more conversational. Imagine a future where you don't have to spend 5 minutes and 7 clicks to get to your answer. That's how we think about things. How do we get you to the answers you want without all the friction that exists today? And then once you put things in your portfolio, how can we keep you informed about what's happening, bring you back in to experience the right things and to think about the right things at the right moment versus you needing to do that? And so I think from an investor's perspective, what's interesting about AI potentially as a use case is it really helps you be more efficient with your process for how you build a portfolio. And then I think it helps you be more proactive about the stuff that really matters when it comes to managing your portfolio. And so that experience is going to change quite materially.
I'm a big fan of efficiency. Kunal, thank you for coming to the table and sharing your thoughts on AI.
That was fun. Thanks.
That wraps up this week's episode. I have a special reminder for you this week. Kunal will bring his Investor First series to Morningstar's YouTube channel live on Wednesday, September 10th. So set a reminder. Check out last week's Investing Insights to hear him talk about the series' mission in case you missed it. Thank you for making this show part of your day. I'm also thanking senior video producer Jake Van Kersen and associate multimedia editor Jessica Bebel. I'm Ivana Hampton, lead multimedia editor Morningstar. Take care.
This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording and are subject to change without notice. The views and opinions of guests on this program are not necessarily those of Morningstar Inc. and its affiliates, which together we refer to as Morningstar. Morningstar is not affiliated with guests or their business affiliates unless otherwise stated. Morningstar does not guarantee the accuracy or the completeness of the data presented herein. This recording is for informational purposes only, and the information, data, analysis, or opinion it includes or their use should not be considered investment or tax advice, and therefore is not an offer to buy or sell a security. Morningstar shall not be responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other losses resulting from or related to the information, data, analyses, or opinions or their use. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of principal. Individuals should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile before making any investment decision. Please consult a tax and/or financial professional for advice specific to your individual circumstances.